Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Sean Burke, general manager of Team Canada, announced the Olympic team, 25 guys, earlier today, was on with us about an hour ago. If you missed it, we'll replay it for you a little bit later. Ray Ferraro as well, along with Mitch Gallo. And once again, Dave Trentadui in for an ailing Rod Francis. With you until 7 o'clock, sideline to sideline, Joey Alfieri, Kai Hebert at 7. Yesterday, as we were signing off with Pierre Maguire just before 5:30.
By the middle part of November, after the biopsy was done, they said, you have stage 1 prostate cancer. So there's a bunch of different things you can do with it, and their recommendation was that I have the prostate removed. So I had the prostate removed. I worked a game last Wednesday between the New York Rangers and the Chicago Blackhawks. And then at 5 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, I was at the Mount Sinai Hospital being prepped for surgery.
Last night, prior to the Chicago Blackhawks-Minnesota Wild game in Chicago on NBC Sports.
We have an absence in our regular lineup tonight. Pierre Maguire is watching from home tonight, where he is recovering following successful surgery for prostate cancer last week. He is targeting a return to us for the Winter Olympics next month in South Korea. We think of him tonight as Brian Boucher is inside the glass and for Eddie Olczyk.
If I can help one person, just one person realize how important it is to go get checked, that would be awesome. But maybe you can influence more than one person. And maybe eventually you can get people to realize it's really important to go see your doctor. It's really important. For a lot of reasons, and I'm really grateful that my wife and my parents over time taught me that.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal, yeoldeorchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Mitch, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I know you're not on social media, you're not on Twitter. There are some people who tried slugging you on Twitter or whatever comes up. It's not Pierre. He does not have a Twitter account. But I know, in addition to hearing from across the hockey world, literally across the world, from people, that you're aware of the outpouring of support and good wishes from people on social media.
I'm really grateful and humbled. I've tried to answer every single person that's got my personal contact info. So I've been able to do that. It's been a labor of love today. After I did my walk, which I've been religiously doing since I got out of the hospital, I sat down and I've answered every single correspondence I received personally. So it's been a lot, and it's been fun, and I'm really appreciative, and I'm really grateful to the National Hockey League, to the fans of the National Hockey League, to the players in the league, to the coaches in the league, to the scouts in the league, to the broadcasters in the league. To the fans, I can't even begin to thank you enough, but just to the everyday man and woman and child, it's been pretty awesome today. It's been an awesome day.
Well, it's sad that it takes a situation like this, but on the other hand, it's very rewarding, because I know you're in such a whirlwind, especially you and all the traveling that you do. You get caught up in this, and it's almost like this hurricane gale of what your work is, and I know you love it. But you almost get caught in a cyclone, and you don't stop to think about what people think of you.
No, that's not your job. Your job is to go out and try to represent both sides and be the most prepared you can be. Also, try to be as entertaining as possible, but be factually correct, and make sure that you're fair and don't make it personal. So those are the things I focus on an everyday basis when I'm going to work. And that's what was so, I wouldn't call it crushing, because it wasn't. It was more, wow, maybe you are, human. Because you get into that whirlwind that you talk about, which is a National Hockey League schedule or the World Junior or the Olympics or whatever that you're doing, and you're traveling a ton, and you really don't pay attention. You don't take time to smell the roses. And then the doctor says, oh, by the way, you have stage 1 prostate cancer. You're like, well, I feel fine. Haven't changed anything with my work, haven't changed my workouts, haven't changed anything that I do. So it kind of hits you right in the face. It really does.
Here is one of just many, 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 many tweets I received since our talk yesterday after 5:30. This is from Nick280. Please pass on my thoughts and prayers to your dear friend Pierre. I wish him a speedy and full recovery. He's been part of my entertainment life for the better part of my adulthood. And he's always brought it. True one of a kind. Get well, Pierre.
Well, thanks, Nick. I appreciate that.
But that's among, again, many that we've received.
Yeah. Well, there've been it's been a touching day, I got to tell you, Mitch. I've been pretty much overwhelmed, and that is not something that usually happens. But just some of the phone calls. I'll give you one example of a phone call. I got a call early this morning from Lou Nanny, who's just an iconic figure in the state of Minnesota. And for the younger ones that don't know, Lou Nanny was a fantastic player. He really was. He was a great, great hockey player with the Minnesota North Stars. And I've known Lou a long time, and he's visited up at Mont-Tremblant. He called and he said, 16 years ago I had the same thing you had. Nobody knew about it. But I went through the surgery. I did it all. And here I am, you know, 75 years old. I had it when I was 59. I'm feeling great. I'm doing awesome. And then he went over a bunch of things. Then we started talking about the NHL. It was great. It blew me away, though. It really did. And that's just one example. And there's more people than you think involved in sports that have had this happen to them than I'm going through right now. And, you know, for whatever reason, some are comfortable sharing it and others aren't. And but Lou was very, very comfortable.
Yeah, Lou Nanny, in addition to a long, successful playing career, he had a long, successful career in the broadcast booth.
He did, and he's had an amazing career in the insurance business, in the pension business. He's still going. He travels all over. He has been unbelievably successful. And if you watch the New York Rangers play, you're going to hear a player by the name of Vinny Lettieri playing for them. That's Lou's grandson.
Oh, wow.
It's his grandson. And you know, I told Lou a story. I said, it's amazing that you'd be calling me, because just before the Winter Classic, your grandson came up to me and started talking to me, and he knew that I had watched him play high school hockey in Minnesota and also play college hockey at the University of Minnesota, but we had never met. And the young man couldn't have been nicer. We spent about 30 to 35 minutes. He was a healthy scratch for that game. But it was awesome, and I shared some of the, you know, little stories that he was telling me with Lou, and it was really cool.
Well, as we heard from Doc, and as you explained to us yesterday before that announcement on NBC, the target is the Olympics,
yep.
Right? And today, Sean Burke, after announcing the 25-man roster, was on with us. And
Rene Bork, you know, he called me in the summertime and just said, listen, what do I have to do to get on the Olympic team? And I said, well, you have to be playing somewhere. And he said, I'll go play in Europe and I'll earn a spot. And you know what he did? He was a guy that competed extremely hard all year, played well for us, and did what he needed to do to get on the team.
Two players with more NHL experience than Rene Bork on Team Canada, Derek Roy, Chris Kelly, Maxime LaPierre, Mason Raymond right behind him. What do you make of the team, especially in comparison to what some of the other teams are going to look like, Pierre?
You know what? They're going to be very responsible defensively. I think everybody knows that. They're going to play probably more of a physical game than maybe some of the other teams that will be there. I like the veteran experience. Derek Roy is a player that I've always been fond of. I like Max a lot, Maxime LaPierre. I think he learned over time how to be a useful player and control some of his temper. He was always able to get under the skin, but he always went a little too far. And then as he got older in his career, I think he did some really good things. So I think that's nice. And I'm really happy for Rene. Rene Bork has always been a good player. Going back to when he played at the University of Wisconsin, he's always a really, really solid scorer and a good two-way player. But just he got caught up in the whirlwind. You know, you get older, you make too much money, and you start to get pushed from city to city to city. And in the hockey business, they call that becoming a suitcase, and it's not fun. You know, it's happened to a lot of really good players that get paid a lot of money, and all of a sudden they become a suitcase, and it's just it's not fun for you. It's not fun for your family, and kind of the passion for the game goes away because of it, and it's great to see that he's gotten it back.
Well, it's interesting you use that term, so I'm going to come back and maybe finish up with the Olympic teams. But when you say suitcase, Anthony Duclair is already on to his third team. Yep. What did you make of the deal yesterday with Richard Ponick?
Honestly, I think it's a good deal probably for Chicago, because I think the biggest thing for Anthony is he's going to go into a dressing room where he's going to have no voice at all. And he's either going to choose to accept the way the Chicago Blackhawks do business and the way their coach orchestrates things, or he'll be done. It'll be quick and it'll be painless, because they don't mess around there. And I think Anthony's probably been told that. One of the good things that I'm really excited about is John Goyens, who was his coach with Lac St. Louis. John's got a relationship with the Bowman family, and I'm sure that they've reached out to him, or he's reached out to them, to probably speak about Anthony's strengths and weaknesses as a player, which I think is positive. But Anthony's got a chance to, you know, play with Jonathan Toews, potentially play with Patrick Kane, you know, maybe with Nick Schmaltz, maybe with our team Anisimov, who knows. But this is an unbelievable opportunity for him. It is really a tremendous opportunity for him. The whole thing I didn't like about this whole deal, Mitch, I'll be perfectly frank, I didn't like the way it was dealt with from the management side of things in Arizona. I think if you're going to trade a player, regardless as to whether you like him or not, you always thank the player for his time and his service, and you wish him the best.
You don't badmouth him.
You do never, ever, ever badmouth, ever.
Stan Bowman, the element of speed and youth was something that was really important to us. He is the type of player that embodies what the NHL is about now in terms of his speed and ability to put the puck in the net.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Listen, Stan and Scotty and Barry Smith and the entire group there, they're not going to go out and make deals where they don't get more speed and quicker. And that's why you see Vinny Hinostroza in the lineup. That's why you see Nick Schmaltz in the lineup more and more. That's why you see Gustav Forsling playing more. That's why you see Jordan Osterley playing more on the back end than Brent Seabrook at this point, just because they understand the importance of speed and the way they want to play. And when they won their three cups, what's the one thing that everybody said about Chicago? Man, do they play fast. Well, those fast players, either they disappear or they get a little bit older. And now they want to get back to playing fast again.
Pierre, how difficult to pro scout a losing program like Arizona's? Like, how hard to pick out a good player? I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. He's a dash 34 on that team. Like, how do you scout when the team is so bad?
Well, that's a great – what a good question, Mitch. And I did Oliver Ekman-Larsson's first game this year. It was in Las Vegas. Actually, I should say their first road game. It was in Las Vegas. And they got lit up like a Roman candle. They were bad. They were really bad, and Oliver wasn't very good either. And you could see there was almost disinterest in him and his game. He just wasn't sold on where they were going as a group. That's not easy to scout, but you have to look at where does the first pass come from? Does he still want to engage? Does he still have two-step acceleration? How's his lateral mobility? How are his reads and reacts in the neutral zone? How are they in down-low coverage? Can he still be an effective force on the power play? There's so many different quantities that go into how you determine whether a player can play or not still. But he is somebody that I can assure you can still play, just like I think Anthony Duclair is a perfect fit for what Chicago is trying to do. But now it comes down to him accepting the rules of the road in Chicago. Just like if Ekman-Larsson ever got traded, wherever he got traded, he'd have to accept the rules of the road of wherever he got moved. That's just the reality of it.
What would you say to Canadian fans that might have been a bit disappointed that the Canadians didn't try to, well, I shouldn't say they didn't try to, they didn't get Anthony Duclair, based on his the fact that he's from Montreal, played for the Lions at the same time as Jonathan Drouin,
yep,
and maybe could have actually helped Jonathan Drouin get comfortable here in Montreal?
That's a great point. I was a little bit surprised that this seemed to go so quickly with him going to Chicago, especially when you consider he's been asking for a trade since the beginning of the year. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe Montreal had no interest. Maybe Montreal had intel that said that he wouldn't be a fit here. Maybe they didn't want to have Drouin and Duclair on the same team. I don't know the answer to that, so it would be unfair for me to comment on that. It really would be. I don't want to be unfair to this management team or to their scouts, because there are things that go in, and I've been in these meetings and I've helped make these decisions. There are things that go in that are really far from what a lot of people think. They're really intense, different things, so I don't want to be unfair to anybody there by forming an opinion.
But on the surface, right,
the natural reaction
is a local kid who can skate and put the puck in the net.
Yeah. Absolutely. Here's what, just so Canadian hockey fans in particular, because we are talking about an Olympic announcement today, and well, let's talk a little international hockey. If you go over some of the better lines Canada's had at the World Junior, and I'll start with just one from the best team ever, Crosby, Corey Perry, and Patrice Bergeron. Hard to think that that wasn't one of the best lines ever. I would say in the top five would be Duclair, Reinhardt, and Domi. At the World Junior in Toronto, the last time Canada won gold.
That was fun. Yep.
That line was off the charts good. They're one of the top five best lines ever, and Duclair was a big part of it.
bat, and he pitched one that ricocheted on over to Schmaltz. All puck possession by the Blackhawks, and the shot by Kidney is knocked out. Rebound! Score! Grant Seabrook! How's that ball return? 1-0 Blackhawks. Regulation and overtime wins. A drive there. Score! Tipped on Rooney. Blast by Brodin. Saw drifting through one that's off Dubnyk and across now to Granlund. Nice little yank through the legs that comes back over for Koivu. Has a man breaking, got it onto Suter. Score! Ryan Suter, a 4-on-4 goal. And the power play for the Wild is still ahead.
And that was it. When was the last time you missed an NBC game?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Not since I started there.
So it figures that Brent Seabrook scores after being scratched. It figures that the Blackhawks, who had scored 8 the night before, are held to 1.
Right.
And all 3 goal scorers were defensemen last night, and this was huge. All you got to do, as you mentioned yesterday, is look at the standings.
Yeah, no, it was a gigantic game for Minnesota. I had a long exchange email-wise with Seabrook today, who I really appreciate him reaching out to me, and also with Suter. Two guys that scored in that game, so that was kind of neat to hear that soundbite. And they both talked about how important that game was for their teams. And obviously, I think the biggest thing with Seabrook is he's just got to play the right amount of minutes, and I think he'll help. But this Western Conference for 7 and 8, it's going to be just unbelievably difficult. Unbelievably difficult because just before I came on with you, I got a text from a player, and I won't mention his name, from the Anaheim Ducks, and they're in that mix too, he was talking about how hard it's going to be. So, there's a lot going on. This is going to be unbelievable to watch down the stretch.
3-on-1 break for Ottawa, down to the line and in. Pass in front, here's a backhand chance, scores! Tommy Pyatt, shoulder and in. Ottawa with a 1-goal lead.
And another beautiful feed from Matt Duchene.
Morgan Riley,
he
bad pinch, and you could see him say, he said it out loud, it was my fault sitting on the bench. But you know what struck me, and Ottawa's just 1 point back of the Habs now, is Carlson again, Pierre. And
didn't look right, did he?
Every chance, and this is the last few games, every chance a team has that takes the puck down his side, they're going wide and they're beating him.
He doesn't look great. Now, that was something that bothered him early in his career. If you go back to his first 2 years in the league, he had a real hard time pivoting to his right. He really did, even though he's a right-hand shot, and that's where people would attack him. Then his acceleration became, greater and greater, and his ability to angle became better, and then all of a sudden people stopped doing that with him. But now, because of the injury and because of the surgery he had in the offseason, it's clearly a problem. And, one thing I know about Eric is he loves the puck. Everybody knows that in the league. He loves the puck. But he's turning it over a ton, Mitch, a lot more than ever before, at least that I can remember. And that's going back to watching him play when he was with Frölunda when he was a kid. So, that's something that's got to be fixed. So, the one thing I would say, though, that was a huge moment for Ottawa last night. If they get back into the race, if they do, that game will be the one that got him back in. I really believe that.
I half jokingly suggested to Gallo towards the end of the show last night that Craig, because he thought the Leafs would score almost as many on Ottawa as Chicago did the night before. I said Craig Anderson is going to record a 56 save shutout. Did I not say that? Those
yes.
exact words.
Yeah.
Well, it was 45 shots and it wasn't a shutout, but he was due for one of those.
Well, they had no business winning that game.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of that game was Craig Anderson. He was phenomenal. Because Toronto was all over, they had no business winning that game. Absolutely agree. That's one of the best games I've ever seen Morgan Riley play. Do you agree, Mitch Gallo?
Oh, he had the puck the whole game. I was going to say when we're talking about Carlson, outside of the pinch, of course. I was going to say when we're talking about Carlson, how many times have we seen him as not the best defenseman on the ice?
Yep.
Morgan Riley was better than him.
Yep, I agree with you. But there was. If I really believe this, if Ottawa gets back in, that game will be the one that gets him back going.
Pierre, Matt Duchene, he's been, I think 7 points in his last 5 games after the terrible first 20 with the Senators, and he made reference to being a distraction when he first got there. Do you think he's finally starting to get comfortable?
That, and I think the fact that he's playing with Mike Hoffman helps a lot. For whatever reason, they were kind of hesitant to play those guys together. That was the perfect fit, and last night it was a lot of Colin White playing with those guys too until the third period. When they decided it was getting a little tight and they didn't want to play the rookie as much, Colin White, who was playing out of position. He's a natural center. They had him playing on the wing. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I do. I think that's a valid point. He may have been a distraction. He may have felt that way. He didn't want to be a distraction, just wanted to be part of the team. Well, I think he's getting more and more comfortable, and, you know, it's sometimes, not always, but that I believe that was the first time he'd ever been traded at any level. That's never really that easy. That's a hard thing to overcome. It really is.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
It's a completely different vibe and mesh than Kyle Turris, but he is a good player. Everybody knows he's a good player. All right.
I will say hi to Pierre. Sent him a note yesterday, and you know Pierre's going to fight like a bugger, and wishing him all the best.
And among the many texts, Pierre, that of course Ray, that have come in since 5 o'clock this afternoon. Let me leave you with this. I am a sergeant with the Public Safety Department in Westmount, and had the chance to meet Pierre years ago during a block party on Douglas that he was a part of. I had never met him before, but when a few of us went by to say hi to the neighborhood kids, he treated us like we were long-lost friends. Offers of food, handshakes, and kind words. We always remembered that after he left, and a bunch of us are keeping a good thought for him and his family. Be well.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you very much. I remember that part, too. That was on Douglas Avenue. That was good.
Pierre's last home in Westmount, but I don't think it'll be his last home in Montreal.
No, I don't think so either.
Talk to you tomorrow at 5:05. Thanks as always,
Mitch.
Pierre.
I appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.